A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Yud Zayin, Chulin 17b, pagination is 34. The Gemara, six lines down, tells us that there's a concept called Bedikas HaSakin. In fact, asks the question, Minayin LeBedikas HaSakin? How do you know that you have to check the knife for Shechita? And the Gemara suggests, Ushechatetem Bozeh, the pasuk that says you should shecht with this, that means a pre-designated knife. And what we're actually doing is checking the knife for nicks, because it would yank the simonim, the kana and veshet, the food pipe and windpipe, rather than cutting them if it indeed has a nick. Now, you could theoretically check it afterwards, check the knife afterwards, but that's not what's being required here. It's bedikas hasakin to check the knife beforehand, and simply said, we're worried that someone will not check the knife afterwards and won't realize that what was touted as a kosher shechita really was not, because the knife was never checked and it indeed has a nick. We're also told, laharo sakin lechacham, mepnei kvodo shel chacham. Two lines after where we were, there's a concept that a shochet shows the knife to the Mora d'Asra, to the Rav who's in charge, as an honor, as a display of honor, of subservience to the authority. And this was the symbolic gesture, even though we really hope that by now the shochet knows what he's doing, and he would have already received Kabbalah permission to be a shochet, ordination of sorts, but nevertheless, as an act of subservience, he shows it to the Rav HaMachshir, who gives him the okay to shecht. The Gemara now launches into our biggest discussion, which is exactly how does the knife get checked? We're midway on the line, about 10 lines into the wide, b'ma'arava, in the west, that's Eretz Yisrael, badki lo b'shimsha, they check it using the sunlight. Rashi has two approaches. One approach is that you hold the knife up to the sunlight and you could see if there was a nick. Another approach is that it has to do with the shade that's being generated by the knife. In Nahar Da'a, that's a place in Bavel, Badku la b'maya, they check it with water, Rashi says. They run the knife over the water very carefully and precisely, and if it creates a ripple, then they can see that there's something not perfect about the knife. Rav Sheshes badak la b'reish lishnei. Rav Sheshes checked it by the tip of his tongue. Now, this obviously requires quite a bit of expertise. We're not looking to cut anyone's tongue. But the same way that the tongue, if treated properly, could have tremendous taste buds and sensations, apparently he found that he was able to pick up even the slightest nick in the knife that would impact the shechita. And as we'll see in a moment, there's a concept that the kana and the veshet, one is more of a solid, ring-like structure, that's the windpipe, and the other is more of a fleshy, muscle-like structure to push the food down, and that's the food pipe, and it's going to be fleshy. So you want to check it in a way of flesh, of how this knife would operate on flesh. Rav Acha bar Yaakov badak la b'chut ha-sayra. Rav Acha bar Yaakov used a thread of hair. Besura amri bisra achla bisra levadka. In Surah, they said, well, it's going to cut flesh, so we're going to look to check it using flesh, and this includes even the finger flesh, which typically is what would be done. We'll do one more piece. Rav Papa tzricha bedika abisra ve'atufra. Rav Papa said it needs to be checked on flesh and on the nail. And that's the tradition that we work with. We'll see one more step in this, but it's going to be checked on the flesh because it's cutting through flesh. That's the veshet, the food pipe. And it's also going to be cutting through something that's much more solid. So the nail will be the comparison to the kane, that ring-like structure. You could see this in Taisvis, the second Taisvis, Abisra ve'atufra, outer commentary, Abisra mishum veshet. Flesh is referring to the comparison to the veshet, flesh-like, ve'atufra mishum kane, and the nail is a human available way to check that's similar to how it would operate regarding the kane, the windpipe. Now you'll notice in parentheses, va'atlasa ruchasa, and on its three sides. So that's something that we have to get to, whether Rav Papa said that or not, but that is going to be an opinion we work with. Amale Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Amal lon Rav Sama bered Rav Misharshia Mishmach, it's being said in your name, Da amrit le mishmei de Rava, that you said in the name of Rava, tzricha bidika abisra ve'atufra, you need to use flesh and nail, v'atlasa ruchasa, and you have to do three sides of the knife. Meaning not just the part of the knife that's meant for the cutting, but also the two sides of the knife, which are going to be going into the neck of the animal. And if they would do any yanking, it would also passel the shechita. Rashi points out that when it says Mishmei de Rava, in the name of Rava, that type of style means that Rav Ashi was not quoting Rava personally. He did not learn by Rava, learn in his yeshiva. In fact, they did not live at the same time. In the words of Rashi, Rav Ashi lo ro es Rava me olam. Rav Ashi never saw Rava living as a person. Yom shemes Rava, nolad Rav Ashi. The day that Rava died, that's when Rav Ashi was born. When it says Mishmei de Rava, it means that this gadol is quoting a quotable quote that he feels is reliable in the name of that person. We have tons of this. People quote in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Doesn't mean they ever learnt by him. And in a few years, they're going to be people who weren't even alive during his lifetime. But they quote from him. This is in contrast to someone like Rav Yehuda, who's often quoted in the Talmud, quoting from Rav or Shmuel. It's listed in a different way. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Or Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. But when it says Mishmei de Rava, it's in his name. And it was understood that he didn't actually receive a direct conversation from Rava, who he's quoting. But in any case, what was the quote? The quote, Ravina says to Ravashi, that's being said, that you are quoting from Rava, is tzricha bedika abisra ve'atufra ve'atlasa ruchasa, that indeed the flesh, the nail, on all three sides of the knife is required. And the Gemara continues discussing whether this was the quote or wasn't the quote. Good. Art Scroll presents that if we follow this ruling, note 32, that we would require 12 checks, because every check is a going and a coming, because the knife is supposed to go and come in the animal, and therefore if you have a one-way nick that's only detected in one direction, which is totally possible, that has to be detected as well in your checking, and if you're going to do a double check, once on the nail, once on the flesh, and you're going to do three sides of the knife, the sharp part, plus the two sides that go in also, so then you end up with 12 checks that you have to do. The Gemara presents an objection to checking the sides of the knife. You may recall this concept, which is being used as the source to object. It's 6 lines up from the bottom. Milo Amar Avzera Amar Shmuel Libein Sakin, the case of the heated knife. V'shochat bo, and you shecht with it. Shechitasu Keshera, we consider the shechita kosher, even though the heated knife, white hot knife as it's described, would burn, and then a shechita is not occurring. But the rule that we said was shechiduda kodam lelivuna, the sharpness of the knife comes before the heat, and the space hashchita is mirvach ravach, it opens as you go in, and therefore we're not worried that the simonim, the kana and the veshet, got burnt before they got cut. So why don't you say the same logic here? The sharpness of the knife is what will cut, and if there's a pegima, a blemish in the sides of the knife, let's ignore it. What's the difference? Why do you have to check for that? V'kashalon ho'ikatz dodin. We had that question. What about the sides of the knife which are so hot? V'amrinon bey, and we said, v'amrinon beis hashchita mirvach rovach, it widens. Hachanami beis hashchita mirvach rovach, it widens. So if we say that the sharpness of the knife cuts before its heat impacts, and we weren't worried about the sides of the knife at all, so why are you worried about the sides of the knife over here, and therefore you should not have to check the sides of the knife? Says Rashi, it must be about 12 lines up from the bottom, the beginning of the line with the abbreviation, Va'afilu hachi, nevertheless, kaimalon, we paskin, that you do need to check atlas ruchasa on all three sides of the knife. And perhaps the reasoning is because heat is something that takes a moment to impact, and we could say that the cutting with the sharpness of the knife comes first. But pegima, a blemish in the knife, yanks. We had this on Tesvava Medbeis 15b. Mepnei shehin chonkin, the Mishnah says, because it chokes the animal. And Rashi says, kodin, it rips. So that's something that could happen even preceding the sharpness of the knife. If it grabs onto something of the kana and veshet, and as you're going and coming, it's yanking it, so then it's killing the animal before the sharpness of the knife did so. Whereas the heat is more reliable as to what it does. It impacts as you go in, and we could argue, and paskin, that the sharpness precedes it. There's one more factor over here, and that is that the Aruch HaShulchan says, Simen Yud Ches, Se'if Tes Zayin, that as a matter of fact, we do not check with the flesh. We do not check with the finger. And he wonders why not. We only check with the nail. And the Aruch HaShulchan suggests because our knives are constructed in a sharper way to the point that the finger would not pick up the sensation, and therefore it's not a reliable way to check for nicks. Indeed, a surgical implement, you could cut yourself and not even feel it. But the nail is reliable, and that's what we use. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.